talk about prayer and power today. And we're going to start with the game. My game, because I love love alliteration, is Miracle Mission. All right, and then because I knew we have some competitors
can hear me.
We can hear you. Hey, Kelly.
Here.
So, Kelly, you'll probably want to be unmuted for this. So, I also put here the definition of a miracle so we all wouldn't, because some of y'all are really competitive. So, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. So, how this is going to work? You're going to name a different miracle in scripture. The person on your right is going to go next. If you cannot name a miracle in 5 seconds or less, or if you repeat a miracle, you are out. We're going to play continues and only one person remains. Okay? I am going to be the judge. Do I have a volunteer that wants to go first? That's the easy one. Anna said first. All right. So Anna's right is Kelly.
Okay.
And then Jennifer and then Kelly Curry, you're after my mom, okay? Kelly? I need a confirmation or we're going to skip you.
She muted herself like that.
Okay, we're going to skip Kelly. Tracy goes after mom. All right, ready? All right, and I'm going to be the timer and the judge.
Oh, Kelly says she can't hear.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, that's...
Touch.
No, that's not touch screen. Let me see.
I'll try to fix it.
Okay, Wince is going to pick it, fix it, and he'll jump in when he is done with that. So he might get a free round. All right, ready?
So Kelly will be after me then.
Well, no, she can't hear anything right now.
See ya.
Excuse me.
All right, go.
Water and wine.
Oh, good one.
Pregnant. Sarah.
Pregnant Sarah. Oh, that was a good one, too. The ocean parting.
Pregnant Mary.
Lazarus.
Good.
Healing of the leper.
Good. Any miracle.
Like the one from the fire? Mm-hmm. Raising Lazarus from the dead.
He already said that one, so you're out. But Anna's up.
Raising from the dead.
Okay.
Paul struck a lion on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
Burning bush.
Loaves and fishes.
Men.
Oh, I like that one.
The lake where they go.
Yeah,
and
something.
Oh,
I don't
know about. Stopping the storm.
Isn't
that
the
same thing?
Wait, what?
Are you talking about stopping the storm?
No, no, the man at the well that wanted to be healed.
Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry, Anna.
Jonah.
Is this the well?
Not the well, not Jonah.
I know
the
well.
Okay.
Oh, wait, Winston, I see it right here. This says muted right here.
Yeah,
there it is.
Hold on. I know, you're talking about the feet, but the fountain of the
yeah,
size.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah,
coming
yeah,
off. All right, Mom. Sorry.
Healing the leper.
That was already said. Mom's out.
I'm out, because I don't know.
The blind. When you heal the blind.
Yep.
Feeding off the 5,000.
That was...
She said loaves and fishes, so...
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
All right, so Anna.
Would they lower the guy down in the ceiling?
Okay, great.
Locusts.
I'm out. You said
the
leg.
You're out.
I'm
out. You're out.
Broken
bless.
Leg.
Broken leg.
When he healed the dude's broken leg.
Yeah.
Oh, when they healed the kid.
The demon.
Not the demons.
The kid that was dead?
Yeah. When he went to the house. And,
okay.
Driving the 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene.
Oh, yeah. When he woke up that little sick girl, that little girl's, that famous guy's in positions, the daughter. I forgot.
Is that the same one?
Oh, that's
not the same one. All right, so it's
Anna.
Kelly and Anna.
Anna,
you're up.
Oh,
I got like 10 more.
Hey, Kelly wins!
The centurion servant!
Yeah.
All right, Kelly wins!
I was about to say,
and
I
only
like
have to use one
go.
Play.
That's
what I was thinking. Don't say Catholics don't learn the Bible. That was 12 years
wonderful.
Of non-education coming through.
All right, no, I just need to click on it.
Yeah.
So, because it's Pentecost, and I thought this would be a fun way to just remind us all of there are a lot of miracles in the Bible, right? Lots and lots and lots. All right, so when was the last miracle you saw or experienced?
I got up this morning. No.
I mean, some days.
Yeah.
Some,
yeah.
Finding a place to live.
Amen.
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 Amen. Especially in this economy.
I got a good one, but
yeah.
It gets a little personal.
You don't have. You can share as much or as little as you want.
No, I mean, well, not really like personal like that, but it's kind of messed up. But it was a miracle for me, and Paul was with me. So, my father and my mother. So, my father's old, and my mother is younger, way younger than him. My father's like 81. My mother's like 50-something. So my mother, when I was born, she was like 16, 17. So that would make him like 30-something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, my mother was raped, right?
Mm-hmm.
She hates him. That's why my father's not in the picture. I got to experience my father and meet him a couple years ago. And we bonded. And just a lot of forgiveness happened. That was the miracle in itself. But the greatest miracle was at the end of that trip with me and Paul, I got to see my mother and him eating at the same table, hugging, and taking pictures together.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So that, and I have pictures of that as well on my phone. So I got to experience that because she couldn't see this man in paintings. So, you know,
That's a big miracle. The miracle of forgiveness is huge and reconciliation.
Yeah. That was like 2 years ago.
So when my aunt was dying, they wanted to bury her with a necklace that she and her sisters all had matching, but we couldn't find the necklace, and so I prayed to be able to find it, and then I got up and went straight into the room and opened her purse, and there it was.
I love that. God is good. Yeah. I mean, it's just a little one, but Winston and Tracy told me about how Shay prayed that they wouldn't get rained on, and then they didn't get rained on. The rain started as soon as they got in the car.
Yeah.
On the way back.
So, yeah, God is good. God is good.
All the time.
Yeah. And so, you know, we see in experiences, and some are small, right? Like, we don't really think about them. Although the weather's kind of big, we think of it as small. Like, I remember one time in college, we prayed that it wouldn't rain because we were going to do our first outdoor service ever, and it was like, you know, like, it was not like Maryland. People, like, joked that it was. Maryland's weather really does change every day. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I've been, except for California, Southern California, they talk about how the weather changes every day, right? Like, or, but nowhere changes like Maryland. I've lived in a lot of places. It really is a very interesting place when it comes to weather predictions. But it was supposed to rain, and we prayed in the rain, and it didn't happen, right? And so there's big, and then there's, like, you know, finding things. Now, granted, I feel like every miracle is small to God because he's just, like, so big, so he can just do whatever he wants. But, like, these meaningful things, and sometimes they take forever, right? As Vlad's saying, like, it didn't happen instantaneously where the mom was just like, you know what, I forgive you, right? That's not something that's not just something that happens. All right, and now I have a question. Have you ever felt like you needed a miracle that you didn't get? Like, you really, truly, and I'm going to use an example my mom has shared with me multiple times, is when her dad was dying of cancer.
Oh, yeah.
She was really praying for a miracle, and she really,
I believed in it.
Yeah, she believed, and she was like, my dad's going to be healed. Her dad was not of that persuasion. He was like, I'm dying, and I'm done. Like,
yeah, and I didn't know.
Yeah, and she was, what, 20s? Early 20s?
Yeah.
So, that is one example I think about because my mom has shared that multiple times with me. But, and there's a reason I used felt, but anyway, like, that you needed a miracle that you didn't get. Anyone?
Quite a few.
Okay, quite a few.
My marriage.
Your marriage? Yeah, that's hard. Well, that kind of goes into the next one. I said, if yes, how often? I heard quite a few.
Yep.
So
every
I'm just
day.
Really. I'm kind of just kind of curious, like, if you feel like it's rare, happens, like, middle amount, or, like, it happens a lot to you. Just as a feeling.
Not
getting a miracle.
No, I think I get miracles a lot.
Yeah.
I
mean, sometimes kind of rare.
Rare.
I do get no sometimes.
I think it's...
Go ahead, Kelly.
I definitely think it's, like, 50-50, like, I feel like sometimes you pray for small things and you don't get them because, like, you're able to do it bigger yourself some other way. And then, like, other times it's all, like, you might not get it the way that you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, does that not count? I think that counts still.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's no right or wrong answer here. We're just kind of probing into experiences and how we feel. So, yeah.
There's definitely been things where, like, there have been things I've been heavily praying about or feeling down about doing God and don't really get an answer yes or no, you know, ongoing, but will get little, you know, not necessarily miracles I've asked for, but like little things that show me that God is there.
I wanted to say that too.
Yeah.
Because, like, even though I got miracles that I want that I didn't get, but I can feel God, like Luke. I can feel God's blessings, like everywhere around me. Like every day, I can see, like, oh, man, this is from God, or this is because of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking
mm-hmm.
care of me. He don't give me what I want, but I'm taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
But that, I was gonna say, it's sometimes a lot is timing. You know, all of a sudden, I want to win the lottery today.
You know,
I'm going to go buy that ticket, and it never happens. But what I'm, but there's so many miracles. I mean, that kind of miracle, I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I believe God. He has such a timing,
mm-hmm.
and I can look back and see it. You know, and I can appreciate it and not rush it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30 years ago, I wanted it now. I wanted the sky to open up and, you know, write
mm-hmm.
it up there. So I think timing is it. And I think about Vlad in a way with his parents. He is their miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And he is who brought them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every time his mom looks at Vlad, he doesn't see the dad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sees what was created, or she sees what was created.
Yeah, because that would cause a lot of trauma with me and my mom, because
mm-hmm.
she said she couldn't love me because I looked just like her.
Yeah,
and that's hard.
But
yeah.
But there, you know, but then you became
but it's
a man.
Different. Yeah, now me and her, we're cool.
Yeah.
We text every day. I text my dad every day.
That's amazing. And there's a reason I said miracle instead of, like, unanswered prayers, right? Because I think we all have experienced unanswered prayers and things. But I think it's important as we think about the power of God. And I don't know about anybody, because when it comes to unanswered prayers, there are times where I'm just like, well, I'm just not going to want that anymore. I just refuse to keep asking. And we're going to talk about that today as we talk about prayer. So we're in Luke 11, 1 through 13. And this is where the disciples asked Jesus to teach him how to pray. And we get the Lord's Prayer here. And I will point out, this is the shorter version. It's not missing, but the one you probably memorized is the one from Matthew. So before you all go, where's the rest of it? I just want to say the one that you've probably memorized is in Matthew, and it's longer. All right, first, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." So even in this first verse, we have a lot, right? So first off, Jesus is praying in a certain place. Right? It is good. And even like science will tell you, your brain gets trained on different places to have a place where you pray. Now, I'm not saying that's the only place to pray, but your brain starts going, oh, this is the prayer place. This is where I focus on God. It's kind of like they'll tell you, don't do anything but sleep in your bed, right? You don't do a craft, you don't work in your bed, you don't watch TV in your bed, et cetera, because it will help your brain to be like, I'm in bed, I go to sleep, right? Like, those are, so it's a certain place, and he's away from the crowds, right? He's not praying in front of anybody. And I love that it says, when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, because it's like, they didn't interrupt, right? Like, oh, I really want to know how to pray. Jesus, stop, right? They did give him the space to finish. And then I love the teach us to pray, because I feel like those of us who grow up in the church, like, it just kind of is assumed that you know how to pray, right? There's never really any instruction on prayer. It's just like, you need to pray. And it's just like, pray, like, you know, that'll work. So Jesus, you know, and they recognized it because John taught his disciples to pray, right? So John, the Baptist, was teaching people how to pray. And so they were like, hey, teach us how to pray. What should we do? And then prayer is an essential component of Christian life. So we should learn to do it well, right? There is no part of, like, you cannot have a Christian life without prayer, because prayer is communion with God. If you're not talking to God, you're not really growing in faith. Okay, and then he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And so as we pray, there are a couple things that I'm just going to highlight about the Lord's Prayer, right? So first off, it starts with the worship and honoring of God and the recognition of a relationship. Father, right? That is an intimate relationship. You are a part of my family. It is a very different prayer than if you're just asking, like, oh, Lord of the universe, right? Both are acceptable.
I have one.
Oh. Both are fine, but this is a, you know, a call to being intimate. Like, you are someone I know. And as a father in this time period, right, fathers were expected to rule the household. They were expected to provide. They were expected, you know, to take care of people, right? You if there was something you really needed, like provision, you would go to your father, that or the head of the household at this time. Hallowed be your name, holy, right? You are holy. It is a praise. It is a remembrance of, not only are you, I'm establishing that we have a familial connection, but I'm also saying, God, you are above me. God, you are beautiful, right? So we start with the honoring and worship of God. Then there's a focus on God's mission, right? It's not a focus on these are my list of needs or wants or miracles. It is your kingdom come. And if you memorize the one in Matthew, your will be done, right? But the prayer here, right, your kingdom come, is the biggest and most important prayer we can pray, right? Like, because God's kingdom is where the justice lies, right? God's kingdom is where righteousness lives. So if we're praying your kingdom come, we're praying let there be an end to racism, let there be an end to sexism, let there be an end to greed and capitalism and poverty and late stage capitalism. I don't want to get into debate, but like, you know, we're praying that there's an end to these things that, you know, and communism and whatever you have you, these things that have gotten in the way of God. That is what your kingdom come is such a big prayer, right? It is a prayer that the world will be set right, that we will go back to Eden, right? That there will be no more death, that there will be healings. It's a huge prayer in three words. Your kingdom come. So it puts us, right, focusing on the big things, right? And then give us each day our daily bread. Not our daily wants. Not like our daily bread. What we need to survive today. And not give us this day enough that will last 12 days so I can take a break from praying, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And even Jesus calls the word of God, or the will, doing the will, is the bread, right? His bread that he lives off of. Because it takes it every day, right? People will tell you consistency, consistency, consistency. If there is a habit you are trying to build, consistency. It doesn't even matter how long you do it. But if you do it for just a little bit every day, that's what changes, right? If you want to start reading more, I'm going to read a page every day. People might laugh at you. What is a page going to do, right? But it's, you know, someone who reads one page a day, that's 365 pages compared to the person who laughed at you and said, what is a page going to do, right? And at least if you're me, I find that when I start something, like little by little, I'm like, well, I've already started. I might as well keep going a little bit more. I've got more energy. But the important part, right, is to do it every day so that when you're tired, you're like, okay, I can do it real quick. Or I only have to read a page. I just have to do that much. So there's the provision, right? Communicating with God, but God knows that we need things. God is not upset that we ask him for things. He is very aware. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me the strength to get through today, for sometimes that's the big thing for us. And then forgive us our sins. So definitely a reminder, we are sinners. We have confessed. We have things we need to be forgiven. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us, right? Confession and forgiveness. A very, like, Christianity 101 is forgiveness, right? If you cannot forgive people, God is not going to forgive you. That's what Jesus says, right? You cannot hold these things. And it's hard, okay? It is hard. Like Vlad was saying about his mom, she was raped. That is not a small thing to forgive. And it takes time, right? And there is a difference, like, between someone who is trying and yearning to give forgiveness for something hard versus someone who has, you know, just said, I cannot forgive that, right? There is a difference. And we are called, right, to move into that forgiveness. And then lastly, the prayer, and lead us not into temptation, right? So there's this, like, strength and protection. Like, keep us away from sin. Keep us away. Lead us not into temptation. Help me to be strong. And I think that's important, right? Because, you know, we will face temptation no matter where we are in life, right? But there are times where we can lead ourselves, or like, you know, be like, oh, I'll just stand over here, right? And then it's a little bit more tempting. I'm not touching the thing you told me not to touch. I'm just, you know, admiring it from a distance, right? So lead us not into temptation. Protect us from those things, and protect them from randomly coming across our path, right? Like, that's what I see as lead us not into temptation, right? Like, keep them away from us so that we can focus on you. All right. So then he gives them this, here's the prayer, here's something really simple. It'll take you a very short amount of time, right, to say that prayer. Now, you can pray it and mean it, or you can recite it. And it's important to pray it and mean it, right? Like, memorizing scripture for the sake of memorizing scripture doesn't really do anything. But memorizing scripture and praying it like you're talking to God, that is where the power is, right? That's where the miracle is. But God also wants people, right, he keeps up with this father metaphor and this family metaphor. And we're going to look at the parable he gives right after this. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't give up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So there's a lot here. First off, when it says the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed, we're not talking about your modern houses, right? We're talking about someone who's probably in a one-room house.
I'm also thinking they can hear that you're knocking on the door and they're shouting.
Yeah, they've already woken him up. But like, this isn't like, you know, the children are upstairs and I'm just using that as an excuse. I don't want to wake them up, right? No, the children are right there. If he gets up, he, like, you know, and does all of this, the children are waking up, right? There's no, you're going to disturb the whole house, right? There's this big, big thing happening here. It's not like, oh, just leave me alone. And, right, and here's the other important thing that we need to remember, because really, I mean, we try in English to get this right. This shameless audacity is one of them. The best translation here really is like, yet because he doesn't want you to be shamed. Because this is an honor-shame culture. So if you don't know, and I'm not going to, like, we have typical cultures are like what they call a guilt-innocent, honor-shame, or fear-based culture. Now this is only one way to look at culture. I'm not trying to tell you these are the only ways to look at culture. But, yeah, yes. The Chinese culture is very, very big on honor shame, and it actually comes from Confucianism. Like, he really talked about that very much. So, just kind of a quick example, like, honor, guilt innocence is kind of the U.S. culture, and it's much more of, like, what did I do wrong, right? It's all about I, and is what I did fair, right? You walk children on the playground, biggest thing they think of, that's not fair. But if you're in an honor-shame culture, fairness isn't the thing. Is what I'm doing socially acceptable? There's not a moral quantity here. It's not about your individual. Is what I'm doing going to bring shame or honor to the community, to my house? Right? So it's a very different question that's being asked. So this is a quote from Michael Gorman, who wrote a theological introduction to Paul in his letters. And it says, simply defined, honor and shame refer to the ongoing attribution or loss of esteem by one's peers, family, social class, city, and so on. So during this time period, there's no such thing as like self-esteem, because you don't get to ascribe esteem to yourself, right? People ascribe esteem to you, right? And so this, not being able to provide for a guest, even an unexpected one, would have caused great shame. Right? It would have caused shame for him and his family, the person knocking on the door. And it could have even done for the whole, like, the social class. Oh, this town wasn't able to provide bread for a stranger. It doesn't matter that it's midnight. It doesn't matter that everyone's asleep. Right? Now, they might be, I'm not quite sure if the guests would have been dishonoring themselves for showing up so late. Haven't been able to find anything on that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what time the guest shows up, right? It is dishonorable not to be able to provide for them. And this was a big deal because you would be shamed in this culture. So he's not doing it because he loves you out of friendship, right? But he'll get up so that nobody is shamed in the culture, right? That's why he'll do it. Because you see, like, I don't want to do it. What about me and my family? That's not fair. Don't ask that of me, right? But it is a, I can't let us be shamed. So that's what's happening here. And I know sometimes that can be hard, because as, like, when I read this, right, especially when I was younger, and before I heard of these honor, shame, and all this stuff, is this idea was like, I'm not, like, I don't want someone to do something for me for shameless audacity. You should do it because we're friends, right? Like, that's how this should work, right? And that, and again, that's my cultural upbringing. It's not, sure, you might do things for friends, but you really do things about what is the societal expectation. Yes.
Well, not only that, if he hadn't done it, this person who was so audacious
mm-hmm.
might have gone to the next neighbor and said, so-and-so didn't give it to me, but can you give it to
yes.
me?
Yes.
You know?
And it would have been shame. And it, like, so it's not about the individual household or even his children. Because I feel like in the U.S., like, I know my brother is very protective of his children. No, I won't do anything. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be protective of children. But I can't get, if you're going to wake up his kids, he's not getting you bread. But
like, I'll give you a lecture.
Yeah, I'll give you a lecture about waking up his children, right? And I get it because kids need sleep, but I'm trying to put us in the mindset here, right? Because nowadays, man, people can be so overprotective.
Right before he wakes up the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, right? Like, this is what's happening. And it, again, and it's crazy to me because I'd be like, it's midnight. You know, go to Taco Bell. Why are you here? It wasn't an option, right? Yes, Luke.
Just especially because we're talking about God, like, I'm like, throughout the Psalms and Old Testament, there's a lot of, like, you know, for the sake of your name, talking about God.
Yes, honor and shame, for the sake of your name.
Shame God.
Yes, and God is like, and Moses says that too, right? It is very much, and that's why blaspheming the Holy Spirit or blaspheming God is such a big sin. And I'm not talking about, you know, when it says taking the Lord's name in vain, don't blaspheme against God. Meaning, like, don't say something is from God if it's not. Right? Like, putting God's name on something. Like, for example, apparently we recently established this year as a year of Jubilee, right? Except for the fact, and I don't really know who established it. I think it was the White House. I don't know what's happening. But if you're not forgiving credit card debt, if you're not returning land to the people that it was originally belonged to, if you're not doing all of the things that are a Jubilee, then it is not a Jubilee year. Because a Jubilee was all about restoring harm, letting the year of the ground lay fallow for a year so it could be restored. It was about making it so that land, if you had lost it during the 49 years because of your, whatever the reason, it doesn't even say because of, but because of poverty or drought or poor decisions, the land goes back to you, right? Debt is forgiven. That's the point of the Jubilee year, right? And yes, you celebrate because when things are forgiven, right? When debts are forgiven, there's a huge financial weight that's lifted.
Burden,
right? Like, so that's a Jubilee. So you don't get to call something a Jubilee if you're not actually living out the Jubilee part, right? It's not about, like, yes, I'm going to win $1 million, or yeah, yes, everything's going to be better. There's a very, very specific purpose for a Jubilee. So that would be an example of taking God's name in vain. Right? Do not call it a Jubilee if you're going to hold on to debts.
How about a picture?
A picture?
Oh, and Trump with his robes and stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. The Jesus Messiah picture. That was really bad. But,
well, he was a doctor, obviously.
Yes, that's another example of using God's... Oh, well, and I saw a billboard. It was taken down within the week because people were so upset. Where it said... it had a picture of Trump and it said, the government will be on his shoulders. It was taken down within a week because people, but again, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. When we talk about that, don't bring shame on your name. And Trump is not someone that, like, well, he's not God. I mean, like, obviously, but, like, that's bringing shame on God's name, right? That's why, and that's why it's such a big deal. As Luke was going back into the whole, like, do it for the sake of your name.
Right.
God is not going to let his name be tarnished. Sometimes we get, like, a defensive of God. You don't need to worry about it. God's got it, right? God is not going to let his name
isn't that another point, though, when they talk about midnight, it's like at any time you have to defend your name. You know, you need to be, you know, always willing to give.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, and it's in and that is,
yeah,
you know, and if it wakes you up out of bed, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because
it
that's
is.
What giving.
And if you got to wake up, and here's the other thing, because I would say, especially if you were raised in the church, the harder thing is you got to be the person who's willing to go up and get somebody else up because you don't have what you need to provide for the guest. Like, I mean, some of us right? We're like kind of scandalized. We won't say it, but we're scandalized both by the guest who would have the audacity to show up at midnight. But then being the person who goes to wake up the neighbor at midnight, like, we're like, that's not happening. Like, I will figure it out. Right? And so, like, we have to remember.
Crackers.
So we have to remember, right, that it's okay to ask for things. And then, as common in Luke, the Bible, right, we start with the lesser, and then we're going to go to the greater, because now we're going to talk about what God does, right? So, and then it says, Luke 11:1-3, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you, seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But first off, let me, like, speaking of shameless audacity, so ask, seek, and knock are what's called in the present active tense in Greek. Now, we don't have a sense of active in the way Greek does. There is an active tense in English language, but it's not the way this is. It means that the verb is continually happening in the present. That's what it means. It means, so keep asking. Like, there's never a stop to the asking. That's the tense here. Ask, 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 ask. Like, this is the little child that's saying, but why? 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 But why? Right? Like, or how does this work? Right? That thing that if you've ever been with a small child who doesn't stop asking why, you know that that gets annoying. Right? Like, but that's the verb here. So, like, you don't stop asking. Talking about shameless audacity. Yes, Luke?
Sorry, I'm just reminded of a story my dad has told about my oldest niece when she was very little, asking why, you know, it was winter, and asking why is it cold, and my dad doing the whole scientific reason for winter. And then my niece pausing for a little bit, and like, but Josh, why is it cold?
Exactly. But, you know, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open, right? And it is not like a, you know, this is the person at midnight. Wake up, right? Like, I need this. This is what it's talking about. Like, don't stop. Because I know sometimes it can feel very much like, I've asked God for this 18,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep praying about this, right? And God isn't, God's patience is infinite. And there are times God wants to lead us to something else, like, you know, praying to win the lottery, and he's like, I really want you to come to me, right? It's, but there is a, like, and he will lead us to that, but he wants us to keep coming, right? And to not stop. And, you know, you will receive, you will find, right? And that's the big thing Jesus has said throughout. If you look at the Gospels, the big thing he says is, like, those who seek will find. If you're seeking after God, you will find him. Because it didn't matter if you were the poor of the poor or if you were, like, Nicodemus and a Pharisee. Those who kept seeking after God found him. Those who sought after power found power. And then, which of your fathers, again, going back to talking about the fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion, right? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Couple things here. Now, some of you also might know the Matthew version of this gets preached on, I think, a little bit more, where it says, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him, right? But we're going to talk about this. So first off, right, I kind of love this because a snake and a scorpion, right, these are known as bad things, right? I know sometimes people
they're deadly.
Think,
they're both.
Yes, they're venomous. They could kill you or they could really damage you, right? And so, like, the big point here is it's not like, oh, if I give my son a fish, I'm not going to, like, I don't have a fish, you're not going to eat, right? It's like, my son asked for a fish, I'm not going to hand him something that'll kill him. He's asking for something life-sustaining. I'm not going to hand him something that's going to cause him pain. Right? Like, no decent father does that, right? So it's, he's saying, like, yeah, like, even you can figure out that if a son asks for cheese, even if you don't have cheese, you're going to give him something to feed him, right? Like, you guys can figure that out.
Here's Ebola.
Yeah, right? And the reason Luke mentions the Holy Spirit, and I think it's very apt for Pentecost, right, is the Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift to us. Right? As Christians, right? The Holy Spirit is what empowers us, strengthens us, And it's where the works and the blessings and the gifts comes from. So that's why Luke is like, you know, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift, right, that God could give you. So for Luke, it's a lot more, Matthew's like, good gifts, right? He'll give good gifts. And Luke's like, I don't think they're going to understand what good gifts are. So let's be very specific. The Holy Spirit, right, is our gifts. And, I mean.
Sorry.
It's okay. But I think it's important that we remember, right, that when we ask for things, like, we really want the Holy Spirit. Like, when we're asking for strength to get through something, we're asking for the Holy Spirit. When we're asking for a miracle, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to move, for God to move. And I think that's an important thing to remember, because that's where our good gifts come from. And then the main thing here, when I think about Pentecost and all of that, is without prayer, there is no power, right? Because it's in Pentecost, thousands of years ago, that they were praying and the Spirit came on them in power. Jesus says, they asked Jesus to teach us how to pray, and he goes through how to pray, and it ends with the Holy Spirit, right? It ends with the power of the Holy Spirit. Very small, but I think it's very important that we realize. And also that, like, the point of prayer is power. Well, okay, not the only point of prayer. I don't want to say that. But it's like that Holy Spirit, having more of the Holy Spirit, being with God, that is the point of prayer, because that's what changes you and sanctifies you and brings you closer to God. So I have two questions for you that go on to this. And where do you need to make more time to pray in your life, right? Or to be with God? For different people, it's different things, right? And this is not a shaming moment. But again, it's about consistency. Right? And then where do you need to see more of God's power? Because I could almost guarantee you that these two are connected. Where you are lacking, where something is hurting, how much have you been praying there? Or for it? Or watering it? They are probably intimately connected.
Well, we were talking about, do you want people to answer?
You can. I was just going to...
Go on, then. I don't really care to.
Oh, okay.
I was just filling the void.
I know you don't. You hate silence. My mother hates silence. So this sermon was originally the silence of God, which really we'll talk about next week, because I was like, we can't do the silence of God at Pentecost. Pentecost is where God comes with roaring thunder and fire, and we're not doing the silence of God at Pentecost.
I think for me, it's being more intentional about praying, and actually it's just happened in the last week. I just feel like I need to bend my knees. And that's very strong feeling. But being consistent is what you said, and present and intentional about praying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Would agree. And not treating prayer as a to-do list item. Right? Like, my mom and I pray every morning together. But that can't be the only time we pray. Right? Because also, I need prayer by myself. But, yeah. Like, it's not a to-do list. Great. Checked it off. Prayed with God today. Next.
I think learning to go to God with everything is I know that... when your dad was alive, particularly, and I worked at Walmart, and I was in the greeter, and people were not always nice, and I did kind of keep track, and so, but there is a thing,
she kept her
seats. I was sitting there saying, I can't wait to get home, I'm going to tell my husband, I've got to jump in.
Town.
Yeah, it really, I'll get you, I know where you live, so, but it was like, I'm going to tell him this and this happened, or it's going to go, and it was upsetting me throughout my workday, right, and all of a sudden, I learned to take it to God right then and there. You know, like, and I'm not sharing it with Benny, I'm sharing it with God right now, because that's where I'm going to get my relief. That's where I'm going to get my direction. And I think that was a kind of an intentional, you know, prayer, a peace in your life, because that's a hard thing. Peace is a really hard thing to sustain, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you start, for me, I don't have a specific time, because when from the moment that I wake up I thank him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in, I feel as though I am in constant prayer with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sounds like I'm talking to myself all the time, but, you know, but
just
that's where I see it. I did it for him.
You actually helped me out with yours, Miss Lee, because I pray all the time, but you said some's bending the knees. I need to work on submission.
Mm.
Total submission.
Yes. Well,
that's my biggest thing. I don't bend my knees when I pray. I just sit on my bed, bow my head, and I pray. But, yeah, that when you said that, it hit me. Like, that's like total submission.
Posture of prayer can be very important. There are times like I'm like I just need to lay prostrate on the floor. Like that's doesn't happen all the time, but there are just times where I'm like, this is what I need right now. Like God have it all. And I do think there's a different like, and there are times you need to be on your knees, and there are times you just need to sit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Because
cool.
I sit a lot for prayer. All right,
cool.
I don't feel bad. Like
that one hit me. I was like, oh man.
But yeah, but occasionally God is calling us. You know, go to your knees. So.
Try it and see. Try
submitting
the
new.
Oh,
put a pillow there first. No, I will.
Yeah, because
I
agree with you, and I think it is. I'm thinking, well, not my knees, but only because it hurts.
Well,
but,
look, no disrespect to any religion, but if the Muslims could do it, what is it, 5 times a day,
mm-hmm.
drop everything they're doing at the moment into their knees and on their head and their faces, then I'm pretty sure I can do it in the morning. So I'm definitely going to try that now.
I have a kind of funny story about that. I was in London for a thing, and I kind of got stuck, long story. But I was just like basically spending a night on the side of the street in London. Cool fun times. I was just like waiting on a bench for the train to open up again. And there was a building. It just looked like a building. And this was like 3 a.m. probably. And I just saw like dozens of Muslim people going into this building, and I was like, oh, it must be prayer time now.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you would never. Could you imagine? Like, never happened. Well, I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, they're very disciplined.
Oh, Kelly, I see your hand. Go ahead, Kelly.
I just wanted to say that, I think that I need to expand my times to pray. It's like I kind of do it in the morning. And I remember when I was younger, when I was a child, I used to do it in the morning and the night. I only do it in the morning now. So just adopting back that practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, little things like that. Tuesday prayer is a great time. Like, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't always want to, like, sometimes Tuesday prayer comes up, and I'm just like, I don't want people here. And I don't want to stop what I'm doing to pray, right? But it's always, God always honors that, you know? Like, he is good, you know? So.
I think we're so constrained by schedules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to put God on a schedule.
Yeah. But, oh, sorry.
I'll
fill you in at 2 o'clock, Lord.
Yeah. But I do think it's important because of how busy our days are. Sometimes we need to schedule it because otherwise we don't do it, you know? Because, like, and then I will never forget this line. This comes from The Sacred Slow by Dr. Alicia Britt Coley, but she says, like, set a time to meet with God and honor it like you would any appointment with a king. And that really hit me, right?
Because
I don't like, God, you'll be okay if I'm late, right? Like, could you imagine
you
going to...
You see what's going on.
Yeah, right?
I can't make it.
Yeah, right? Could you imagine going to a king somewhere and being like, it's fine if I'm late.
Hey,
right?
Chucky.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think there's both here, you know, both. I think you have to find that balance. Because, yes, it's good to pray all the time, but it's also good to pray... Like, this is, I'm going to pray here, and I'm going to pray hard, and this is what I need to see happen.
I guess I do that in a sense. I mean, every morning when I leave for work, you know, I have Christian music on,
mm-hmm.
and I leave the seat next to me empty,
mm-hmm.
because that's where God's
Amen.
God is, to provide me from keeping his arm around my shoulder and his hand over my mouth. For dry.
Okay. We're going to share prayer requests. Unless, any other comments, thoughts?
Cool.
We're going to share prayer requests, but I really need to use the restroom, so can someone else type them, please?
See, senior.
On the app.